Hurricane season can bring harsh weather and scammers posing as disaster relief companies. Connecticut Attorney General William Tong warns residents that many fake and even some real companies may look to take advantage of natural disasters.
People are vulnerable right now, and none of us is immune from that. And we say this all the time. Any of us is vulnerable to getting scammed.
To avoid scams, the State Department of Consumer Protection recommends residents prepare in advance with reputable companies they want to help in case of an emergency and not the moment a disaster strikes. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. Coming up, how will wildlife be affected by offshore wind? Refugee agencies in Connecticut say, come on in. And unpaid caregivers in New York push for a tax credit. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut has joined a regional group that's been created to monitor the effects of the emerging offshore wind industry on wildlife and the ecosystem in the Atlantic Ocean. WSHU's Ebong Udama reports.
The group is called the Regional Wildlife Science Entity. It's expected to help standardize research data collection and share information about best practices to preserve the environment with the offshore energy industry. Connecticut has helped launch the industry off the East Coast by committing to buying nearly 20% of its electricity from two separate projects set up since 2018, Revolution Wind by Eversource and Ørsted, and Vineyard Wind by Avangrid. Maryland, Massachusetts, Maine, and New York have also joined the regional entity. The federal government is involved through the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
Refugee agencies in Connecticut hope to welcome hundreds of newcomers with support from President Biden's administration. WSHU's Claire Sechrist reports it's a stark change from the past 4 years.
The Trump administration allowed about 10,000 refugees to enter the country each year. That's down from about 90,000 refugees welcomed by his predecessor. Now President Biden has promised to expand this number to over 100,000. Chris George is the executive director of the Integrated Refugee and Immigrant Services based in New Haven. He says the community support in Connecticut has allowed for their refugee program to grow within the last 5 years.
Many organizations in Fairfield County have stepped forward to resettle refugees in their communities. And it has been a model. It's been really an amazing example for what other states should be doing.
George says with local volunteers and private funding, he is hopeful IRIS will double the number of refugees they settle from 500 to 1,000 each year. Claire Sechrist, WSHU News.
Coming up, a new survey reveals how much family caregivers are paying out of pocket. But first, headlines and a message from After All Things supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Metro North's New Haven line is beginning to see ride numbers similar to before the pandemic. Officials say while this shows economic recovery, there's more to be done to keep up. The New Haven rail line between Connecticut and New York City needs billions of dollars for upgrades and repairs. The goal is to increase train speed and offer more frequent trains. A recent study recommended at least $8 billion in infrastructure investments to cut 25 minutes off the trip to Grand Central. New York will spend over $2 million to help develop, on Long Island, a youth job program to reduce gun violence. People between 18 and 24 who are unemployed, underemployed, or out of school in areas where there's high gun violence are eligible. The state-funded program aims to connect at-risk youth with job training and career placement throughout New York. The trial of a Connecticut state senator from Bridgeport has been delayed until December after his lawyer requested more time to review evidence. Senator Dennis Bradley and Bridgeport school board member Jessica Martinez allegedly tried to abuse public campaign financing grants. They face wire fraud charges and possibly over 20 years in prison if convicted. They both pleaded not guilty. The lobby group AARP finds nearly 80% of New York's 2.5 million unpaid family caregivers pay a significant amount of their own money to help care for a loved one. The group is pushing for a federal and state tax credit to help ease the growing burden. Karen DeWitt reports.
AARP surveyed caregivers in the spring of 2021 and found that unpaid family caregivers spend an average of more than $7,000 of their own money to care for an elderly or disabled relative. The group's New York Director of Government Affairs, David McNally, says the money goes to a wide range of products and services.
In our research, it showed over 50% of the money was being spent on housing, whether it be assisting with mortgage or rent or home modification. Almost 20%, 17% are out-of-pocket medical expenses. So there are all sorts of costs when you're talking about an unpaid family caregiver. Gas to drive someone to the doctor, bandages, certain foods that they need for their diet.
And he says those costs disproportionately fall on Black and Latino caregivers. By age group, Generation X caregivers spent the most money at more than $8,500 in out-of-pocket expenses, while Generation Z and Millennials spent a larger share of their total household income on caregiving. Caregivers also lose pay when they have to take time off from work or use paid family leave, which does not fully reimburse a person's salary. The problem is only expected to grow as the population ages. AARP is asking Congress to approve a tax credit of up to $5,000 to help offset the caregivers' costs. They still have to pay for the out-of-pocket expenses, but they would not have to pay taxes on those items or services or on the income that they use to make the purchases.
Unpaid family caregivers, they are the backbone of long-term care in our country, and they need more support. Unpaid family caregiving it's exhausting physically, mentally, emotionally, and frankly, this report shows very clearly financially too.
The measure has bipartisan support. It's backed in New York by Democrats Tom Suozzi of Long Island and Brian Higgins in Western New York and Republican Tom Reed from the Southern Tier. A similar tax credit proposal in the New York State Legislature is sponsored by Aging Committee Chairs Senator Rachel May and Assemblymember Ron Kim. The group is launching a media campaign to gain support for the proposals. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And as always, you can send us your thoughts and story ideas to news@WSHU.org. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll talk tomorrow.